Coming up in today's episode, Ed Livo talks pruning for the backyard orchard.
So we're talking about utilizing all this space that typically you wouldn't think you could accommodate a fruit tree in, but all you have to do then is apply pruning as a primary part of your function, and you can just about do anything you want.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of Kevin Jordan or his guests. These gardening tips and suggestions may work for you, as well as those from alternative sources. When using any garden products or tools, read and follow all label directions. And learn how to make your yard summer strong at bewatersmart.info.
The Green Acres Garden Podcast is the podcast dedicated to helping gardeners hone their growing skills while we celebrate our love of plants. So whether you're new to growing or a seasoned gardener, you're sure to learn something new. Join the fun as we have conversations with world-class growers, passionate green thumbs, and professional garden experts from Green Acres Nursery and Supply. Listen every week. We'll answer questions you didn't know you had. All right, well, it's time to garden on. No choice but to garden on, so we must garden on. Welcome, everybody, to the show. This is the Green Acres Garden Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Jordan, the curious cultivator, back in studio, and we got a doozy for you this week. We're going to be digging deep and cultivating some knowledge on how to get our backyard orchards going. We're going to be talking with a garden legend, Ed Livo. We're going to be talking all about backyard orchard culture, a concept and a practice that Ed has developed over the last 30-plus years. Ed has a career that has spanned over four decades working in the nursery industry. Some of the fruit trees you might be growing in your own backyard right now might actually have the rootstock that he helped develop. So without further ado, we will get into this week's episode. We're going to be talking how you can bring as many different fruit trees into a really small space. Things maybe you didn't think you could do. Austin, I want you to imagine a backyard that is in need. It's got lots of sun, but maybe not a lot of space, like a lot of us have limited space. But we're going to talk with Ed Livo on how we can cram healthfully and thoughtfully as many cool fruit trees into a small space and still have huge harvests, healthy trees, and hopefully a harvest that extends throughout the summer season. So it's going to be a great one.
That sounds amazing. And the way I thought that we would do this would be with grafting. That's something we've explored in the past, having a fruit basket tree, lots of different things on it. We even talked to a gentleman with like 50 plus.
Oh, he had over 100.
100 plus.
Stone fruits on that tree. It was incredible.
And so I thought that was going to be the hack that we were going to explore. But no, it's very different. The backyard orchard culture that Ed Livo has developed is different, right?
Ed Livo, the garden renegade of fruit trees, I'm going to call him, because he's a renegade in a way where he's kind of pushed back against the norms.
I love that.
And he actually proved it over time with just research and by actually experimenting with it. So one of the benefits of the backyard orchard culture kind of style of growing is that what's kind of cool is you don't need to have these monster trees in your backyard. You can actually keep them pretty petite. You can actually have them have a lot of other fruit tree friends. I'm talking peaches, nectarines, plums, apricots, pluots, plumcots, everything you can think of, even your citrus. And you can actually cram them into really tight spaces as long as you do it in a thoughtful manner. And so Ed's got the approach I think is really going to support that goal. And I just want to have the idea of just in my brain of going out into a garden and just reaching out and boom, just plucking fresh fruit off the tree. And then week after week, as the summer goes on, there's more fruit to be had.
That's
and
awesome.
So it's really cool. It comes down to how you select those trees and the ones you choose. What's nice about it is every year there's more and more varieties coming out. We were joking with him. I was like, are there new varieties I should look at? And he's like, oh yeah, all the time. And so we got to see a little list of some new ones coming out. And every year there's something new to enjoy and something new for you to grow. And so it's really cool to be able to grow not just one fruit tree, but many fruit trees.
Excellent. So Ed Livo is the maverick of this. He created this. He has a very detailed approach that you can follow. Anybody can do this, and you can have your own backyard orchard. So let's go ahead and hear from the man himself who developed this. And this is Ed Livo. We met with him at the Green Acres and Citrus Heights just the other day. Let's go ahead and jump into our interview now. Here we go.
I'm here with Ed Livo. How's it going, Ed?
Pretty good. Absolutely great.
So I want to thank you so much for making time for us. I got to meet you years ago, and I was blown away when I met you. I could just tell instantly by your enthusiasm, your passion, but your knowledge just poured through. And I remember just being like a student next to you, just trying to lap it all up. So we're so thankful to have you.
Well, I'm flattered. Thank you very much.
So can you please tell our audience, Ed, like a little bit about your background, how long you've been cultivating plants, how long has your love and enthusiasm, how long has it been going on?
I've been in the business for about 48 years.
Nice.
And so I'm old.
Doesn't look like it.
I'm old. And I've done a lot of things. You know, I've been in the retail section. I've been in landscaping. I've been in the retail section. I've been in the wholesale divisions. And I've had the privilege of working under some of the most brilliant people in the industry, which has just complemented everything that I ever wanted to achieve, you know, in my life and in my career.
So tell us, what is backyard orchard culture? What even is it?
Well, backyard orchard culture was a concept that I had originally been calling for years butcher pruning. And butcher pruning was not acceptable to my new employers, Dave Wilson Nursery, at the time. They loved the concept. They knew my track record, you know, associated with that concept. But they asked me, you know, you got to come up with a different name. And so I just really, you know, toiled on that and said, you know, what's going to take and resonate with people, and what's going to come back to me in feedback when people are trying to say it? Am I going to know that they've had some kind of contact with our message? And backyard orchard culture came out of that. So it's not commercial orchard culture, it's backyard orchard culture.
That sounds great. So what differentiates the two? What makes it a backyard orchard culture?
Backyard orchard culture means that I have to take and differentiate the methodology that I have to use to be able to take and accommodate the space that I have available to be able to take and enjoy those fruits and vegetables that I really enjoy. Okay, well, fruits in this case. And also to take and accommodate some of those things that people want but don't know they can have. So successive ripening was always a goal. Can I get a peach that's ripened all through the season, an early, a mid, and a late? You know, is that something that's doable? You know, other than doing it as a multiple bud, you know, if you're grafting, other than grafting, because, you know, grafting is an advanced skill. And I always looked at that as a limitation for the novice gardener. So they want to take and either buy something that's already done for them, or they want a methodology that allows them to say, hey, I can have a peach, you know, in June, July. I can have a peach in July, August, and I can have a peach, you know, in August, September, or mix them up. So, you know, high density planting and high density pruning are the primary basis for the concept of backyard orchard culture.
The success of ripening, I think, is huge.
It is
so cool to be able to go out in your yard and not just have 2 weeks of a huge harvest, but have an extended period of harvest.
Right.
So how do we get there? Where do we start?
Well, you start by actually training the tree early on to grow a shorter canopy. So, you know, you don't want a canopy that has a tall trunk. You don't need a tall trunk because if you're pruning a tree for size control, you have total control, width, height, everything, okay? Sunlight penetration, air penetration, everything is under your control. That's what pruning's all about. That's the wonder of pruning. I can get in and make that tree accommodate just about any situation I want. The idea is that if it's a bare root tree, you cut it off at the knee. And that's where you want your canopy to begin, because your fruiting body should begin as low as possible. Because if I'm only going to grow that tree six foot tall, and I've got myself a 2 foot trunk, then I've only got a 4 foot fruiting body.
So you want it to you cut it off, or you want that scaffold, that first scaffold of branches to begin?
Correct. And when I first started out, I was not cutting off at the knee. That was a compromise. I started two buds above the bud union.
Wow, really short.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was growing more of a bush-style tree than I was trying to create a tree. Two buds above the bud union gets me a canopy that starts almost right at the ground. I mean, it gives me about a foot.
So what's the benefit? Because I think, like I said, in our mind, people don't want to prune it off. They want bigger is better, more is better. But in the backyard, that may not be the case.
What's a reasonable height? Well, for me, it was me standing with my hands extended over my head.
Because that's as high as you can harvest without bringing out special equipment or a ladder?
Tall people have tall trees, and short people have short trees. my trees were going to be that tall.
Yeah, mine would be medium.
So, you know, if the standard is, you know, how tall do you want your trees to get? You want them to get as tall as it takes to take and harvest and maintain the tree without getting on a ladder. And for that, you know, I usually say, put your hands above your head, stand next to it, and that's how tall your tree should be, period.
That's a good test.
Yeah, it is. It's a simple test.
How do we keep them small? Is it easier to plant a tree, nourish it, water it, fertilize it, let it grow wild, and then after the fact, bring it back to height? Or is it better just to train early on?
No, train it early on. And that's where I get into some contradiction, or I get into some, let's say, headbutting with some of my colleagues.
That's the joy of it.
Yeah, oh, it is. Yeah, and I have no problem with it at all. The fact is that I like two prunings at least in the first year. So after you cut it off the knee, you're going to get a spring flush. You cut that spring flush back by a third. So you actually just stop the vigor, okay? That then in turn puts the energy into the lower developing buds and laterals, and that then your next flush, okay, by the end of the summer, you come in and you cut that next flush back by another third. And so there, simply, you have yourself a small bush at the end of the first year.
All right, now you brought up a couple of different, putting more than one tree into a planting hole.
Sure.
That, I think, is one of the coolest concepts that we can have to talk about today. So when cramming in all these trees in our backyard, you read the different labels. Like I have a school orchard at the school. You know, they're all, you know, 12 feet apart or whatever,
yeah.
Very linear. But in your approach, you do something totally radically different.
Mind you, I do a lot of different things. So, for instance, my hedgerow plantings were, my original tested hedgerow plantings were 18 inches on center, 2 feet on center, and 4 feet on center. Those were my original, and we put 25 trees in each one of those plantings. Then I also did 3 trees in one hole, 4 trees in one hole, 2 trees in one hole. I did a spalier. I twisted trees together and had a lot of fun. I just had a lot of fun trying to create something that people could get excited about, but at the same time then could have more control over their tree and maybe even accommodate some of these things that they don't know that they could have.
So when you plant, like I say, 2 in one hole, mm-hmm. what does that actually look, how close are those together?
I would put them anywhere from 12 to 18 inches on center.
That's incredible to think of, because that's like closer than I put my tomatoes.
Well, you look at my addendum to the backyard orchard culture that I had written in about 2012. The addendum really says, I think I was a little, there's a little bit of reconsideration going on in 4-in-1 hole. I found 4-in-1 hole was a little bit more difficult to take care of, simply because absolutely there was going to be one tree that was going to be in the absolute north. And that was going to be the one that you had to accommodate the whole rest of the planting by keeping it lower to accommodate that tree.
It's not getting as much sunshine.
Right, and so there was an imbalance constantly. So I had to say, no, that I don't think that works. So I think I was wrong. Although I have plenty of successes with 4-in-1, 3-in-1 hole, though, works perfect. You know, triangulation works perfect. Sunlight hits every point. And you plop them in and you
cut them back to knee high or so, and then
yeah, and then you start them off, and then you grow them like you would a single trunk, open center fruit tree.
And so you treat that center so that way they do, as they start crisscrossing each other, you kind of give them their own little space, a little bit.
Yeah, you keep them all. Yeah, everyone gets a third of the entire circumference of the canopy space. All right, and you know, you'll have crossing and stuff like that. I mean, there's no such thing as perfect, although I always try to achieve it every year. I try to get it just right.
I was out in the orchard today pruning, and I was like, man, I got to prune a little. I got to be pruning quite a bit to make it perfect, but there's no such thing.
And no two people prune alike. I mean, I prune
different every single year,
yeah,
as far
I kind of learn
from last year. I'm like, okay, this worked a little better.
And that's brilliant, because that's exactly what everybody does, okay? Everybody who takes and starts the practice of pruning on their trees, there's a personal relationship that develops, and that you look at that and you go, you know what? I don't like what I did last year. I'm going to try it a little different this year. And the way I'm recommending in backyard horticulture is I recommend all summer pruning anyways.
That's really cool, because I think you hear a lot about, oh, okay, don't prune too much in the summer because you don't want to force too much additional growth.
But
you want to control that growth.
You want to control the growth. The whole idea of summer pruning is actually a growth suppressant. You know, you're actually stopping the tree from growing, so you're suppressing the vigor.
What is the best way to prune them in the summer? What are you looking for, and where are you going to actually cut them back to?
Well, I mean, you cut them back that third, cutting back a third of the vigor just to stop, just to check the vigor. That's for the first 2 years. Then the third season, you're looking at the ultimate height you want to keep that tree at. And now you run into all kinds of new challenges, and that is there's a thing that I call crow's feet, where every time you do a cut, you know, three limbs, three laterals
yes,
are developed.
Yeah.
So you really have to start going in summertime. You go in and you go under those and you cut those out. So you take those out, and that helps you to open up for sunlight. But maybe you ended up with a whole bunch of different limbs in one place. Now in the summertime, you can see you don't have sunlight, so you go in and you eliminate a limb or two, you know, to allow for sunlight penetration. Well, when are you doing this? You're doing this when you should be thinning the tree. And thinning is an incredibly important task that people don't do. And so I like
thinning is when you remove an entire branch.
No, when you remove fruit.
Oh, thinning the fruit. I mean a thinning cut.
No, thinning fruit, okay? And so I like to say you should be out pruning your tree around the time you're first thinning. That's the first time you want to prune. And that's a great thing because people will knock a lot of fruit out of the tree while they're pruning. And otherwise, they're reluctant to want to thin.
I've been that way on my peaches. I'm like, look how many peaches I have. And then you see a branch, you come back later, and it's on the ground or it's ripped off the tree. And you're like, I probably should have thinned that.
Be aggressive about thinning. I'd send my son out with a bamboo pole and say, stick thin that. You know, just go out and just rattle the thing and just stick thin it. Yeah, because we'd have so much fruit hanging in it. Because when you're constantly trying, you know, pruning during the summertime, you're initiating new fruiting wood down low. And that fruiting wood gets to be quite, you know, there's a lot.
They're and, plum full.
Yeah, they're plum full. That's right. And I can tell you that becomes a challenge. Now you have to go in and start removing entire limbs to open it up for sunlight, air circulation. All those things that you hear about in pruning class all turn out to be the exact same things that you apply just in size control. But what you're doing is you're applying them by standing there, you know, you're not looking up or standing on a ladder or. You know.
Well, I don't know about you, but I've been pruning some of our other fruit trees and I've let them get a little too tall. And I notice a lot of my cuts, I'm craning my neck upwards. So I feel like keeping them short is a fantastic approach. So you brought up, you know, this cool thing of planting multiple trees in the same location, really tight, you know, foot and a half apart. What would be some that you would select? Do you do all peaches in one hole? Or can you mix the different trees there?
The one rule is like spray requirements. So you don't want to put apples with, you know, you don't want to put plum fruit with stone fruit, okay? Because, you know, the spray requirements for apples differs and actually kind of correlates with the time for spraying peaches. And so you really don't want to, or harvesting peaches, excuse me. So the correlation of the timing of spraying apples, it comes in about the same time that you harvest peaches. So you really don't want those two together.
So like nectarines, peaches, cherries
peaches,
can be
plums,
together.
Yeah, cherries work with anything as long as it's self-fruitful variety, you know, self-fertile. But, you know, like if you got to have a Bing cherry, you do a Bing cherry, and that would be your early. And then you do a Rainier cherry.
Give me a Rainier all day.
Yeah, you got to have a blonde cherry in there. And then have a late cherry like a Utah Giant, and that would give you cherries while your neighbor has their cherries for 2 weeks. You'll have, you know, roughly about 4 weeks. I think the best resource for determining what might very well suit your palate is Dave Wilson Nursery's fruit tasting evaluations. You know, I conducted those fruit tasting evaluations for 14 years. And so those
you tasted them yourself?
I tasted every one of them. And then we had panels of people that actually sat in and tasted. So we'd have a panel of professional nursery people that would taste fruit. Then we would go and invite the public in, and they would taste it. And then we collected all of that data, and it's all available on the Dave Wilson Nursery website or also in their handbook. That handbook, all of those best varieties are in there.
Well, you brought up in the beginning successive harvesting, and yes. I think that's an awesome way to kind of approach maybe some of the people's choices.
Sure.
Is that it's really cool. You can go on there and see a calendar.
That's exactly right.
And you can see what you know when that should be harvested, those harvest dates
right.
on some
that's
of these
exactly
trees.
That's exactly why we do that. You know, we put the ripening date in there so that you know you can make a determination as to that. So, I mean, a really cool 3-in-1 hole could be, let's say, an early apricot, okay? And then let's say you get a great peach variety, mid-season peach, because peaches in the mid-season are excellent. And then to follow up the end of the season, you maybe put a pluot or a plum in.
Love pluots.
Yeah, for the end of the season. So, you know, there's so many different ways to approach it. And if you do three-in-one holes, okay, now you've got cross-pollinization galore. And that's one of the things about, you know, having these high-density plantings. You're accommodating the pollinator as well. So if you've got a variety that needs to be pollinated, you can include the pollinator in there.
So now, I saw in here that you talked about a little bit about hedgerows.
Yes.
So you can have a hedgerow of fruit trees.
Yeah.
Densely planted. How does that work?
Well, same difference. I mean, I like hedgerows to be probably about 3 to 4 foot on center. Probably the most... successful hedgerow that you can make that actually is functional as well as with citrus. Citrus hedgerows really, really, really well. And with citrus, because of the width of citrus, how it grows, you can actually put those a little bit further on center if you'd like and go 5 foot on center on those.
Yeah, we planted citrus at the school and they started out as individual citrus. And
yeah.
I think they've slowly turned into a citrus hedgerow,
yeah.
which I'm not mad about. Because
yeah.
there was so much out there right now. I mean, the oranges, the lemons,
I like,
mandarins
you know, the
crazy.
Concept of edible landscape, you know, I use citrus to block out neighbors. You know, I mean, it's just,
ornamental.
They're ornamental edibles. I mean, that's exactly,
beautiful. The leaves always look good.
Always
and those flowers smell
yeah.
killer.
Oh, that's right. And there's so many varieties. You know, the classification of edible ornamentals, you know, that was another classification that we worked on really hard at Dave Wilson, you know, coming up with that concept and lots of varieties that fit into that double flowering varieties. Varieties that have beautiful leaf structure, varieties that have, you know, interesting character, you know, in terms of how they grow. So those are things that I think work into that concept of an edible landscape because beauty mixed with functionality.
I love it. You brought up earlier, and I kind of knew your answer because I read your stuff, about how it's just training them early on, right from that planting, you know, cutting them back and spending that first couple years on getting their canopy set up and keeping them nice and short is really imperative. Now let's say there's a gardener out there, I don't know, name starts with K, I'm not going to name anybody, but let's say that theirs are a little bit taller than they want them to be.
Right.
Is it possible to reinvigorate that fruit tree and to bring it back down to earth a little bit?
Yeah, it's a technique called drop crotching or drop scaffolding, okay?
And don't drop crotch me too hard.
Yeah. Well, drop scaffolding, I used to use drop crotching all the time, and then, you know, everybody went, no.
Yeah, bring that scaffold down.
Yeah, so it's drop scaffolding. And drop scaffolding is basically just kind of, it's almost like summer pruning in reverse. You're bringing it down. All right, and then ultimately you're doing winter pruning on top of that. So you're losing, you know, some fruiting years, you know, when you do that. But if you're careful, you know, you can actually drop scaffolding is a tough chore. Okay, depending on how big. If the tree's 20 feet tall and you want to bring it down to 6 feet, that's a lot of work. It's going to take you 3 years to do it.
Yeah, because I've got a pluot that just the flavor is supreme, and it's a beautiful tree. It's just it's just growing so well, but it's you know right now it's at like 12 feet, and I want it like 8.
Well, you're okay though. That's only whacking off 4 feet. That's no big deal. That's easy.
I mean,
I would almost just say do it.
Okay, so just do some little topping cuts and kind of bring that
canopy
down.
And then don't let it go anywhere during the summer. Cut it during the summer so that it reinvigorates the lower laterals, get your fruiting wood established lower in the canopy. I mean, that's the whole idea. If you want it at 8 feet, you want to bring it down to 6.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense because it's going to grow right back to 8. Ed, I want to thank you so much for pruning off some time to make with us. I really appreciate it. I got to meet you so long ago and I loved it then. And man, you haven't changed a bit and it's actually, you've ripened even better. And so I want to thank you, but where can the good folks find you? I know you've been working on some solo projects. Where can folks find you?
Well, I play around. I have on the Facebook, I have a Facebook page, an Instagram page, and a YouTube page. And they're all Ed, E-D, Able, A-B-L-E, solutions. And so, yeah, and you can find me there.
Edible?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It was, the idea was Able Solutions was the original, and then my son said, no, it's got to be Edable Solutions, because I started with Edible Solutions, can't use that. Sorry, somebody else has got it.
I think you landed on something really good. Well, Ed Livo, thank you so much for making time for us. I really appreciate it, and hopefully we can get you back on, because I think there's some more fruit to be picked with you.
Yeah, possibly. You bet.
All right, Kevin, that was our interview with the one and only Ed Livo. Thank you, Ed, for joining us and sharing all of your knowledge. And my mind was blown, Kevin. I want to ask you a couple questions about stuff he was talking about. And the first thing is the pruning. He seems like to be a big proponent of aggressive pruning and summer pruning. And I'm not sure if that's something we've really dived into before. This approach seems very aggressive. I'm a little intimidated by it. Should I be scared? I don't know. Like, is this the right way?
You know what? You're not alone. I think a lot of people naturally feel that way because we don't want to remove things from our tree. Sometimes go, oh, it's getting smaller. That's a bad thing. But no. But when it comes to the backyard orchard culture and those dense plantings, it really requires some summer pruning, and especially those first few years, it's really crucial. So in that first year, he brought up, you know, cutting that tree back to create that scaffold nice and low. I mean, as low as 15 inches off the ground. So you can go really low to the ground, and that's going to encourage all that new lateral growth. But of course, if you noticed, when you grow trees, fruit trees, they grow like wildfire in those first few years. But a lot of those limbs go vertical. And so in those first couple years, you're really going to be doing those summer pruning to get out there. And so he even said early summer pruning, and you're going to whack back some of that growth by half. All that new vigorous growth that shoots up vertically, you can get in there in late, you know, in springtime even, late spring, and cut it back by half. And then again in late summer, you know, around September or late August, you can cut it back again. And I know it seems aggressive, like you brought up, but it's not. It's actually the best way to kind of maintain that overall height. And so, of course, you can get in there in the winter and do that dormant pruning as well to remove any branches that are, you know, disease damaged or dying or crisscrossing or whatever. You can still do that. But what's nice about doing these summer prunings is it really is going to be the best way to maintain that height that you're going to desire. Because he even said, I like to have my fruit trees in this style where as only as tall as he can reach by reaching up above his head.
Right.
You know, any taller than that, you got to bust out the ladder. And that kind of defeats the purpose. So he wants it. All your fruit to be, you know, ripening throughout the summer and at fingertips reach. Very accessible.
I like that a lot. And then in line with you're talking about the first year, second year, third year, these different pruning things you want to do. I actually have an article I'm going to link in the episode description. So if you're listening to this, you want to start a tree from, you know, year one and follow these rules of keeping it short and aggressively pruning it. I have this link here and it will guide you on how to prune that tree. And the other thing I just want to mention that's so cool is instead of grafting to get multiple things together, we plant three in the same hole. That's just so rad. It seems easier too. I like it.
Yeah, and the spacing is like less than the spacing I give my tomatoes. But with the proper pruning and care, it actually works out. They all kind of grow into each other a little bit. You still have, you can create that open center for airflow and light to penetrate through. But really, with that summer pruning and that late summer pruning, it really is a great way to control that overall height, bring them back down to earth a little bit. You're still going to have some nice, wide, stocky, you know, vibrant fruit trees, and they're going to produce a ton of fruit for you. Maybe not literally a ton, although maybe,
maybe
how many you grow, but it really works out. And then by that third year, you've already, that's when you choose your height and you don't let that tree get much taller than that. And so the first and second year are all about setting up the tree, its shape, and keeping, getting those lateral branches and the shoots and all that new fruit forming wood to form. But by that third year and on, you're really, you've got your height set and then you're just there to keep it.
That's awesome. Well, big thank you to Ed Livo this week for joining us and sharing all of your knowledge. We so appreciate it. Kevin, I'm going to hand it over to take us out for the week. And carpe fructus.
Oh, yes. Carpe fructus. Seize the fruit and seize the day. Well, a huge thanks to Ed Livo, the legend of the garden. I really appreciate it. It was awesome to see him again. And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in every single week. We love it. We love having you here. We hope to have you back next week. And with that in mind, we actually have a special guest coming next week. A very special guest, but I can't tell you just yet. All I can say is that it's going to be epic.
All right.
So until then, garden friends, I wish you all a fantastic week out in the garden. And Austin?
Never.
Sorry.
Wait, what were you going to say?
I'll say happy gardening to you all and
never stop growing.
There we go. See you next time, friends.